Let's pray together. Father, it is good to be here in your house. Thanks for inviting us. What a great invitation that the King and Creator of all the universe would invite us to come and be in your house, that you would adopt us to be your sons and daughters, that you would send your own Son to take on the punishment for our sins. Father, this is all incredible. Thank you. We are eternally grateful for all that you have done for us. Father, help us to reflect on that. In this day, this morning, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper together with you and with each other, help us to reflect on your goodness, your mercy, and how big the sacrifice was that was made on our behalf. Draw our hearts to be right next to yours. Let us hear your voice. Let us know your thoughts. Let us feel your feelings. We are your people, your church. And we want to be close to you. Father, I do pray if there's anything that's standing between me, us, and you, that you would show that clearly this morning, and that by your grace, we can remove it. By your mercy, you would remove it. But that there would be nothing between us and you, that we would enjoy fellowship, true, intimate fellowship with you, our Maker. Father, all of this, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. What did you notice? Look, church is not typically interactive, and you have to know when it's okay to shout out an answer and when it's not, right? So that's going to be okay right now. What did you notice about, for them, what it means to trust Christ? Any of you make, like, you wanted to cry with that? Nobody else wanted to cry besides me watching that? Oh, man. I've only seen it 30 times. I still cry. All right. So from their point of view, what to them does it mean to trust Christ? What did you see? Everything. They didn't have anything. Right. And so they trusted him completely for that. Yeah. And who was it that we assume, who stepped up to help them? Neighbors. Yeah, neighbors. Maybe church folk. Whatever. But somebody wearing those shoes stepped up to help them in need. Which is a great, I mean, that's a great calling to us. When we see people in need, somebody's going to step up and give them that bag of groceries. Somebody's going to step up and give them that gift certificate to Albertsons. Somebody's going to be wearing those shoes, and it might as well just be you. Might as well be us to do that, to help out other people who are totally trusting at that moment. So what does it mean to trust? You know, we have the song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." What does the word trust mean? Trust. Anybody, what does it mean? It's beyond your resources. Yeah, something. There's something beyond your resources that you have to go to an outside, someone outside, right? And who else said something over here? Confidence. They have confidence. Yeah. Yeah, I had all these great questions, and then finally I stopped and said, what does it even mean to trust? So I went to a dictionary, and here's kind of a dictionary definition of it. It means to rely on the character, strength, or ability of an other. To have confidence in them. It has something to do with expectations and hope. You're expecting something down the road that is better than how the circumstances are right now. And it can also mean for you and for me to be placed in charge or to given be given custody over or to be given care of something, that we would be trusted at that point. God has us in His care, right? That He has been given charge over us, custody of us, care for us. And so He's been entrusted with that. Right? So that's what trust means. What does it mean to trust God now? And remember, all of this, when I want you to think of this, I want you to think in terms of taking the Lord's Supper and all that this means. What does it mean to trust God? There's something to do with that we rely on the character of God, that we rely on His strength to do something that we can't do. We rely on His ability. And so we put our confidence in God. So it means to trust God, and a lot more than that, that we have our hope in Him. We have expectation in Him to trust God. What does it mean not to trust God? Now let's think about that for just for a second. In the end, it means that whatever the situation is, and we've all been in very difficult situations. If you haven't, it's coming. Somebody sent me an email and their tagline was, everything works out for the best in the end. So if it's not at the best yet, it's not the end yet, or something like that, right? We all go through difficult situations, and I believe God lets us go through these difficult situations, even if we're the ones who caused them, or somebody else caused them. He lets us go through those difficult situations because in the end, He is trying to teach us how to trust Him better. When things are going good, when do we trust God when things are going good? We just go through the motions. We just enjoy things. We plop down on the couch. We watch TV. Auburn beat Alabama. I was not trusting God at that moment. I was watching that happen. Like, wow, it's great. What a great game. Right? When things are comfortable, we're not thinking about that. God allows these difficult things in our life to teach us how to trust Him. Otherwise, we'd never learn that. So what's it mean not to trust Him? Hey, in the end, it is this. That somehow we have stopped relying on His character. We don't think that He is good enough, nice enough, caring enough, compassionate enough. We just don't think so. Or we've stopped believing that God is strong enough or has the ability to handle whatever the circumstances are. We stop believing that. Or we start thinking that we are stronger than God. We are better than God. So we'll handle it. We'll do it. I'm smarter than God is. Let's go. We'll deal with that. That's what happens when we stop trusting in God. There's a reason, I think, why all of Scripture starts with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And everything else flows from that. That God is that big, that powerful, that much in control. And if He can create the heavens and the earth, He can handle your situation. Like I remember I was at private practice. I'd taken over this big old office space. It was gigantic. Because I had taken over a drug treatment program from a hospital that was closing it down. Saw it as an opportunity, as an adjunct to my private practice. Hired all the staff, had the big lease. I mean, it was like 5,000 square feet of office space. It was like the size of this building. It was huge. And had that monthly check going out. And one of the things I learned was that people who work with drug addicts or alcoholics don't like to collect payment from them. They see that as being some kind of a flaw in the therapeutic process. But they also like to get paid every month. And I learned a lot about math at that moment. So in the end, I was going broke. I was making more income than I ever had in my life, in my own practice. But I was supporting four other families in doing that, in this building. And trying to get out of my lease, all I needed was an office the size of this pulpit. You know, that's all I needed, just to talk to people. I have this giant place. So I asked the landlord, hey, you know, the management company, can I get out of the lease? They're like, no way. You have never missed a payment. Why would they let you out of the lease? Because I'm nice. That's exactly why they won't let you out of the lease. So, but I needed to get out of the lease. And I was within, well, let me back up, about 3 weeks before D-Day, the mathematical D-Day, I started looking at these Hubble Space Telescope pictures. You ever see those? And they have one of the great pictures is of the pillars, these pillars that are out there somewhere. And they're different shapes. They look like a hammer. They look like, they're these pillars. And these pillars have these bright lights coming off of them. And each of those are stars coming. This is a galaxy being born. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, God is still active, working, creative. The God that did the Genesis 1-1 thing in the beginning, God created, is still active and create, still that big. Still having fun creating new stuff. And I'm praying, God, certainly, if you can create a new galaxy anytime you want, you can get me out of this lease. I'm desperately praying for that. And the day before I had to declare bankruptcy, they call me and go, I don't know, you're out of the lease. I don't know why. I don't know how. They've never done this before. It was some big teachers union that owned the building. But you're out of the lease. Don't tell anybody. And I was gone. And God took me right up to that point to teach me about how to trust Him. That if everything was cool, I'd have never learned that lesson. And we've seen it with Susie's health. You have seen it in your family. That God teaches us, even in very, very difficult situations, how to rely on Him, how to trust in Him, that you would never learn if your life was the way you wanted it to be. My dad's favorite verse was this. You might want to turn to it. It's Proverbs 3. You know it. If you know it, you don't have to turn to it. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And there was something about my dad and the way that he knew God that when he quoted this, this wasn't something academic. He was talking about his best friend, his Savior, his Creator. He knew the God that he was talking about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all that you do, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. He will make the road straight. He really believed that. And because of his testimony, I really believe that. And because of what God has taught me and showed me through the years, I really believe that. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't try to figure it all out. And He will guide us. Now, to really trust in God, I mean, how do we learn to trust in God? Obviously, it's through the hard things. Like, how did that song ever get written? She lost her husband and became destitute. And she fully learned how to trust in God and wrote that hymn for us. When we fully trust in God, here's the thing, though. There's no plan B. Don't you hate that? When we're fully trusting in God, there is no other plan. It is God or it's not going to happen. Now, it's not to say that, we don't do the things that God has directed us to do. We don't sit in the corner. We don't sit in our sofa watching football and saying, God will provide the money for me. Right? He told you to get a job. You know, from the time of the Garden of Eden, He told us to get a job. You know, to provide for our families, provide for ourselves. Now, God does provide for us, but we don't want to take advantage of that, right? And call that in some distorted way, trusting in God. We still need to do the things that the King has told us to do. But at those times when God is teaching us about faith and trust in Him, and we know that that's the lesson going on, there can be no plan B. It's just in with both feet, trusting God. And that's when you know you are trusting God, when there's no other plan. Faith and trust means that we're depending on God and not on ourselves. Now, why is this important? And why would God teach us these things? I've said before, I think in life, that's Doug's fantasy, okay? And it's scary to be behind the pulpit and tell you what is in my imagination, but I think we're going to get to this big stadium in heaven with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout time and distance, every continent and every language and every national group. And we're going to be sitting there, and God's going to get behind the podium and the microphone, whatever, and He's going to say, not that you need a microphone, but He's going to say, "What do you all have in common?" And the first thing we're going to say is Christ. We all have Christ in common. You say, yep, that's right. What else do you have in common? And we're going to look around and just be stunned because we'll be sitting next to somebody from Africa in 400 A.D. or someone from Israel in 1400 B.C. Or what could we possibly have in common with these people? And He's going to have this big scoreboard, and He's going to reveal, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different things. Like, you all lived life in a way that you had to learn to trust Me. I put all of you through circumstances where you would learn to trust Me. Or I put all of you through circumstances where you would learn about My character. Or you would learn about your need for a Savior. Or whatever it might be, whatever those things might be. And we'll all go, yeah, I went through that. And everybody will nod their head going, yeah, we all went through those things. To bring us to that place where we understand who God is and what He has done for us better and how to trust Him better. Because listen, at the end of our life, there will come a day for each one of us, unless Christ comes back first, to deliver us from this. There will come a day for each one of us. We will sit or lay in our deathbed, and there will be nothing else but Christ. Our house, our car, friends, credit cards, stock portfolios, none of that will matter. And at that moment, we will fully trust in Christ. Fully. More than ever before. But God wants us to practice for that moment. See, we can't just go through life never having trusted in Christ and get to that moment. It'll be odd at that moment. But if we have practiced that through our life when we get to that moment, it won't be odd. It'll be sweet to fully trust in Christ, to fully wait for Him to come and get us. It'll be a sweet time with the person that we love the most, our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no plan B when it comes to salvation. Faith, trust in Christ is what there is. The Bible declares there is no other name given among men by which we may be saved or must be saved. Jesus Christ. It's Christ alone that salvation comes through. There are a lot of things about salvation that are beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension, but they are not beyond our trust. We trust Christ with our life, with our death, and with our life after death. We trust Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and for life everlasting. We trust Christ and Christ alone. Ushers, if you would get ready, come on forward. And if you would prepare your hearts for this, that as we receive the Lord's Supper, understand what it calls us to. Trust Christ fully. Spend some time in prayer. The Apostle Paul tells us that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we'll take the bread all together. But contemplate that. What does it mean that this is Christ's body given for you? How great was Christ's sacrifice for you? And based on that, can he be trusted? It's so amazing to me that our Lord invites us to this table. In fact, he tells us, members of his body, to come to this table, to remember him by doing this, to celebrate what he has done for us. We remember Christ's body given for us as we take this. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. We'll take the cup all together as well. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." What a great reminder of the sacrifice of our Lord. And as we take this, we remind ourselves, got to put our faith and trust in Christ. In with both feet. No plan B. It's Christ. Christ alone. We remember the Lord as we take this cup. Two things. We have a benevolence offering. This is one of the ways in which our church, as a church body, helps to take care of people who are on hard times right here in Tehachapi. It's one of the ways that we get to deliver groceries to the door. So we're going to pass the plate for that. If you have the opportunity, give generously to that so we can help more and more people. Second, one of the Gospels tells us that when they were done taking this Passover meal, this Lord's Supper, that they sung a hymn and they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so after we pass these plates, the worship team is going to come back up. We're going to get to sing a couple of songs of praise together and we'll be dismissed.